what is this guidance here? This guidance means that general guidance to which all the creation partakes. In the sense, that guidance that teaches the caribou, right, that's what they have in this area, the rabbit, or the moose, to cling on to its mother. To cling on to its mother when it is newly born. Or the guidance that teaches the bird in the morning to go out and look for its food. Or the guidance that teaches the human child to go to the breast of its mother when it's born. This guidance, which we sometimes refer to in the English language as instinct or so forth, who has instilled in human beings these meanings? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the general type of guidance which all the creations has understood or has been given. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, of course, in the Quran of the bees, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired the bees as they take their homes in the mountains and in the trees and so forth, and that they other acts which are part of their behavior and part of their, that result in guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. The second form of guidance is that one is shown the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Balad, I think we heard the Imam recite that last night, he said, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, and we have guided him to the two paths. Meaning we have shown mankind the two paths. Either so that he can become thankful, or either that he might become ungrateful, as mentioned in Surah Al-Insan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us truth from falsehood. And that is by him sending to us the messengers, the greatest of which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said to us in a hadith that there is not a means leading to paradise, except I have shown you. And there is not a means leading to the hellfire, except that I have warned you of. So this type of guidance in terms of knowing what is right and wrong, being shown the right direction, this is the second form, or second level of guidance. But in this, Muslims and non-Muslims are equal. In the sense that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come, the Quran describes guidance. In this sense, it is equal for all of mankind. But there is another level of guidance. And that is to accept the truth. So, and this is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in one's heart that makes him accept Islam. That makes him accept within Islam the Sunnah and not be a deviated person following some sort of innovation. As the Prophet or one of the second generation scholars have said, he said, as reported by Ad-Darimi in his Sunan, لَا أَدْرِي أَيُّ نِعْمَتَيْنِ أَعْظَمُ, I do not know which of the two blessings is greatest, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided me to Islam, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me free of following one of these desires, meaning these astray groups. Because we know that the only religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept is that of Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, he who seeks a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he will be among the losers. And we know that within Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that his ummah would divide into 73 groups. 72 of these groups will be condemned to hellfire, and only one group would be saved. As he said in the hadith reported by Tirmidhi and others, وَسَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى 73 مِلَّةٍ كلها في النار إلا واحدة, وقيل من هم يا رسول الله, قال هم على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. And he said, as the last part of a long hadith, and my community would divide into 73 groups. All of them will be heading to the hellfire except for one. When questioned as to the identity of that saved group, the Prophet ﷺ said, it is those who are upon what I am upon today and my companions. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, this third level of guidance is the acceptance of the truth, the acceptance of Islam and the Sunnah. And this is a great blessing indeed. And this is the blessing that we ask for when we say اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ in our prayer every single day, 17 times or more. We say this sentence. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us that straight path so that we may distinguish between truth on one hand and falsehood on the other hand. And that also He guides us and we accept that truth. So we are asking for guidance to the road, and we're asking for guidance upon the road, or within the road. And likewise, the fourth level of guidance is that guidance to which the people will have that allows them to cross the bridge that will be set up upon the hellfire on the Day of Judgment, and that will guide them to their homes into paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that we will, and I ask Allah to make us from the inhabitants of paradise, recognize our homes in paradise more than we recognize, or as we recognize our homes on this earth. In other words, when you are coming from the airport, like we will be leaving your town of Toronto, and you go back to your city, as you approach your home on the road, you recognize that you're coming closer to home until you finally arrive to your house or your apartment or whatever. So likewise, the people, when they enter into paradise, they will go to their home. They will not need somebody to come and show them. They will each recognize and naturally go to their home. And this is the fourth level of guidance. So the point is that al-istiqama means to be upon that straight path. That straight path which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up for His servants. And that leads unto Him and leads unto His abode to paradise. And the first step on that straight path, and that straight path has many degrees, many stations, many rest stops. You know, like on the highway you have stops that you rest upon. Many stops on the way. The first stop is that the heart becomes awakened. Al-yaqaza. And that is the heart senses that it has a purpose greater than to eat and drink and sleep like the animals. The heart begins to recognize and becomes aware that there is a purpose that it has been created for. Because it all starts at the heart. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in the hadith of Nu'man bin al-Bashir, that in the body there is an organ. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ If it becomes sound, the rest of the body becomes sound. And if it becomes corrupt, the rest of the body becomes corrupt. And that it is the heart. So the heart is where it begins. So it begins with this awakening that the person has a purpose. And then it continues with other stages which we'll have to. But when the person wants to begin his traveling unto Allah, when the Muslim, male or female, realizes that he has a purpose or she has a purpose greater than just to enjoy the passing pleasures of this world, it starts off the journey with journeying unto Allah and His Messenger. And the first step is in this verse of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. The first step is the recognition of poverty that we have unto Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind,
you are the impoverished unto Allah, and Allah is without any wants, and He is deserving all praise. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. This poverty which Allah mentions in this verse, O mankind, you are the impoverished unto Allah, is two types. A poverty in which we all share, whether we are Muslims or non-Muslims, whether we are human beings or animals or angels or jinns or whatever. That poverty is one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created our being, has provided us life, will give us the taste of death, gives us what we need in order the necessities of life, prevents us from the harm that will come to us and that would end that existence. We all share in this. This is not the poverty that the verse is calling us to. It's calling us to a voluntary poverty, and that is the one of submission. A poverty that when one recognizes himself and recognizes his Lord. Because this voluntary poverty is built upon two concepts. That the slave of Allah recognizes who he is, and he recognizes who his Lord is. And that is why in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O mankind, O humankind, you are the impoverished unto Allah. So he reminded us of who we are. And then he taught us who he is. وَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. He is free of all wants. He is not in need of our worship. We benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nothing. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in the hadith, Al-Qudsi, O children of Adam, if the righteous of you and the impious of you were to all gather in one area and to ask me something, you would not remove of my kingdom anything. And if you were to all to gather to harm me, you could not harm me anything. So the point is that we do not bring any benefit unto Allah, nor can we bring any harm unto our Lord. Our righteousness is only for our benefit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the first part, which is recognizing who we are. And then He warned us, or He told us the second part, and that is who He is. And then in the last 5 minutes, that He is Al-Ghani, and that He is Al-Hamid. He is Al-Ghani, meaning that He is free of all wants. So He has no defects. This name removes from any attribute of to Allah any sort of fault or shortcoming. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hamid, meaning that He has all the qualities and attributes of praise. He has all the beautiful names and qualities of perfection and acts of wisdom. And He is to be an object of praise because of that. Indeed, we cannot praise Allah as He deserves. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that in heaven there is not a single hand span except that there is an angel standing or bowing or prostrating. And that when the horn for the judgment is blown, these angels will say, O Allah, we have not worshipped you as you deserve. We have not worshipped you as you deserve. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani Al-Hamid. So therefore, in one being upright, the first step, once his heart becomes awakened, and he wants to journey unto Allah and His Messenger, which we explained in some detail in a previous lecture, that he understands this poverty that he has unto Allah. And so therefore, the greatest impediment which throws one off that path is when he thinks himself to be self-sufficient. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in the first surah of the Qur'an, which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Al-Alaq, وَأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. And that man, human beings, have طغيان, step over the boundary set for them, because he thinks himself to be self-sufficient. In other words, he doesn't understand that poverty. And that brings us back to what we were discussing in the first part of this few words concerning uprightness, when we discussed that one should worship Allah alone and avoid the worship of a taghut, and that taghut is whatever takes a person away from that. So with that summary, or those few thoughts on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَمْ, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by all his names that he instills in us faith in him, and that he guides us to being upright in this life and rewards us for that in the hereafter. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. And if there are any questions in the last few minutes, we'll be glad to answer them.
Quick question. Regarding color, we get this question sometimes that people say that it's in my destiny to be bad or good, so what can I do about it? How would you address that? How should we address
that? Don't you say something? Take it off. Huh? No. Okay.
No, the issue of qadr is people. The root of this problem, I'll explain to you what the root of the problem is, and that will help you in understanding the answer to your question. What is the question? It says that sometimes people say, it is my destiny to be good or bad, so what can I do? They usually say this when they're evil. So, as Jamal has pointed out. The understanding of this is that we know in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim and elsewhere, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the creation of each of you, or your process of being created, is that you are gathered in the womb of your mother for 40 days as a sperm, as a drop, and then as a piece of attached flesh, and then as a piece of chewed flesh, and then the angel is come, is sent, and blows the soul into the fetus, and is ordered to write four statements. To order to write the amount of years you have, your lifespan, the amount of sustenance you have, whether male or female, and whether you will be in hereafter among those who are have happiness, as-sa'ada, meaning you'll be in paradise, or those who will have as-shaqawa, who will have misery or sadness, meaning in the hellfire. So people hearing this hadith or other hadith, or statements in the Quran which express such meaning, then say, then since it is written upon me, what is the use of acting? What is the use of being, this is something decreed upon me? It is, first of all, we should understand what does it mean when we say that Allah has decreed something. It means four things. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of everything. That's the first thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Alim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said in one of the lectures, He knows the past, He knows the present, He knows the future, and He knows what would have happened had it happened, how it would have been. And He also knows the impossible, that which can never happen. That if it was to happen, what would have happened? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how we will act before we have acted. Allah knows that the brother was going to enter into the room just now, and takes the seat which he will take before he even thought to himself to enter that room. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the second aspect of qadr, has written this. As I mentioned two hadiths in a previous lecture, the first thing that Allah created was the pen. And Allah told the pen to write. And the pen inquired, what should I write? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, write everything that will occur till the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being all-knowing, He knows everything that will occur until the day of judgment. So He has written this. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, as in the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr al-As in Sahih Muslim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measured the measurings of the creation, meaning the different qadr of the creation, before he created the heaven and the earth by 50,000 years, and his throne was upon the water. Allah wrote in that book that we would gather in this room, and that that baby would cry at this moment. Every single detail, before he created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. And this is our Lord, Azza wa Jal, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, who has such knowledge that nothing escapes him. And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the third aspect of Qadr, is that he has willed everything into being. In the sense that nothing occurs in the heavens and the earth except by his permission. So when a person does a good deed, it occurs by Allah's permission. And he loves that act. And when a person does an evil deed, it occurs by Allah's permission. We should not think like the Zoroastrians think, and those astray Christians who follow the Zoroastrians in their beliefs. What do the Christians believe? The Christians believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in an eternal struggle with the devil. And that each of them have to have allies in order to win this struggle or this battle. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the devil. And he is the devil's lord. And he is the one who provides the devil its sustenance. And that is why when the devil disobeyed Allah, the devil asked Allah, give me respite until the day of resurrection. Because the devil is one of Allah's creatures. So when people do acts of disobedience, Allah hates those acts. And he has not commanded them. But we should not think that they are done acts of disobedience in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not able to stop them if he did not want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. Nothing occurs in the heavens and the earth except by his leave. And so therefore, like the Christian idea, that when Adam created, when Adam made the first sin, and therefore all his children have the sin, the Christians believe that the souls of all the prophets and the saints, the righteous, were in the devil's prison, in hell, because of that first sin. And Allah could not take them out of hell, because he could not do that. And so therefore he had to fool the devil. So he sent his son, as they say, فَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا, onto the earth in the form of a man, Isa ibn Maryam. So when his son was crucified, as they say, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that monstrosity, and then his soul was taken into the belly of the earth for that, into Satan's prison. Satan, not knowing that this was the soul of a person who had no sin, so when he put him into the prison, meaning hell, by mistake, he had to leave. So when the doors were opened, Isa was able to take out all the prophets and the saints with them. And this is their belief, which came from Zoroastrianism. Because the Zoroastrians believe there are two deities, a god of good and a god of evil, a god of light and a god of darkness, and that they're in some sort of eternal struggle. And so therefore the Zoroastrians, wanting to help the god of good, the god of light, defeat the god of evil, the god of darkness, used to light fires and worship those fires in order to increase that light so that he would have enough strength to defeat the evil. So we should not have these types of concepts in our minds, or what flows from those concepts, and think that when the sinners do acts of sin, they do it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak or cannot stop them. A'udhu billah, this is kufr in itself. They do these acts because Allah has permitted them to occur. It is by his will, but he does not love them. And that is why he will punish them for them to do these acts. The fourth aspect of Qadr is that Allah has created everything. So he has created every single one of us in the sense that he has given us our being. He has brought us from non-existence into existence. He has created us in sense of giving us our attributes. In other words, some of us are tall, some of us are short, some of us are dark complexion, some of us are light complexion. These different attributes we have. And also qualities. Some of us are patient, some of us are hurried, some of us are very severe and harsh, some of us are very gentle and calm. These type of qualities that Allah disposes in His creatures. And likewise, Allah has created our deeds, our actions. And that is because when you want to do something, any action, like you want to pick up something, it proceeds from two things. It proceeds from a will, a desire to choose right and wrong, to choose to do something or not to do something, and an ability. Who gave you the ability to do something? Who gave you the power to do something? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who gave you the ability to choose between right and wrong and didn't give that to the animals? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore the deed, the act that proceeds from your ability and your choice is Allah's creation. Because whatever comes from a created thing is created itself. So everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete sovereignty. And everything is in His kingdom. And nothing occurs except by His leave. And with this He has sent the prophets and the messengers so that people have no excuse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says in Surah An-Nisa. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came forth to his companions one day and said, in his right hand he had a book, and in his left hand had a book. And he said to them, do you know what these two books are? The companions said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, in this book is the names of the people of paradise, their names and their father's names, meaning so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And in this book are the names of the people of hell, their names and their father's names, meaning so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And then the Prophet ﷺ informed that nothing will be added to those books. And then he threw them behind his back. And he mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has la ubali, that
la ubali has been translated.
That you're supposed to say that. Yeah, la ubali means that He has created the creation and He has set paradise and hell, and that does not disturb Him, that some of His creatures will go to hell and some of His creatures will go to paradise, in the sense that He has completed the creation and what happens is the responsibility of His creatures.
That's good. Translation.
So the point is that this is the belief in Qadr, that Allah knows everything, He has written everything, that He has willed everything, nothing occurs except by His permission, and that He has created everything, and with that He has sent the proof against us, and He has given us the choice to choose between right and wrong. So yes, every single one of us has been written upon Him when He was in His mother's womb, and was written upon Him before that, before Allah created the heavens and the earth, by 50,000 years in the book of decrees, whether we will be in paradise or hell. But that does not negate the fact that it is still our choice and our deeds that lead us to paradise or hell. Because the fact that Allah has written this is because His foreknowledge, that He knows everything even before it occurs. And it is like, if you can imagine, for instance, you were to know what will happen tomorrow, and you wrote that down in a piece of paper, a document. That would not mean that the people, when they did that thing, that you had forced them to do it. You see, and that's what people misunderstand. I don't know if that, Qadr is a very large subject, I don't know if that has helped you understand that question. Okay, I'll answer this question very briefly, which is sometimes difficult for me, because I've given a message, we're over time. In the book of decrees, you have to understand the decrees are of different types. There is Umm al-Kitab, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. This does not change. And none looks into this book of decrees except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Neither angel And definitely not like the Sufis claim that they can look into those Book of Decrees, they know the knowledge of this is all kufr, this claim. Then there comes a second decree. And that is the decree that comes at your birth. Okay? At Taqdir al-Umari. And that is what we mentioned, the hadith of Mas'ud, that when the fetus, the soul is blown into it, four things are written. Your lifespan, the amount of sustenance you have, male or female, or paradise or hell in the hereafter. And then there is a taqdir al-sanawi, the yearly decrees. And that's what happens on Laylat al-Qadr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the angels with every single thing that will happen. And then there's the daily qadr. The daily qadr, which is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rahman, كُلُّ يَوْهُ وَفِي شَأْنٍ. Every day he is in some affair. And as Ibn Abbas said, he gives life to some people, he gives death to other people, he releases somebody from prison, he brings somebody some good, and things of this, giving some examples of his decree. So when the angels are given a decree to implement, because the angels are Allah's soldiers and workers in the universe, and they are told, for instance, that this person has a certain amount of years to live. It is sometimes written in the Book of Decrees that if that person is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, nothing increases in righteousness, increases in one's life, his length of his life, except for righteousness to his parents. So if someone is righteous, then the angels are told that if this man is righteous to his parents, to his relatives, increase him in his years. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ra'd, that he erases what he wants, and he also affirms what he wants. وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. And with him is the mother, or the essence of the book. So that changing in Qadr refers to that which is taken from the mother of the book, in that sense. But what is written in the main Book of Decrees does not change. And the reason why for this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a great wisdom in this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is incomprehensible for our creation. There are some things that the scholars have said, maybe perhaps now is not opportune to get into, since we've gone over our time. So with that, I have to apologize that we have to end this session. But we have another session, perhaps we can take up some of the questions then. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. السلام عليكم.